Hello out there. Welcome to your next Mission Video Podcast. Last week, we talked with Robert Frick, corporate economist from the Navy Federal Credit Union, about inflation and the things you can do to try to keep it from wrecking your personal finances. Robert is back with us today for part two. We'll discuss financial advisors, planning retirement, and home and car ownership. It's information we can all use. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. Today we're going to be talking about personal finance and economics, in other words, money. And I'm happy to welcome back Robert Frick, corporate economist with Navy Federal Credit Union, who I'm proud to once again say is one of our presenting sponsors. And good to have you on the show for another week here.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. Great to be back. Can't wait to get into it.
We got a lot to talk about again today, but before we do that, for the people that didn't listen to our show last week, would you tell them just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I was a newspaper man to start my career, and I got into business and financial reporting. I worked 30 years in that area doing personal finance, markets, that sort of thing. I worked in behavior for a while, and I've been with Navy Federal for about 7 years as the corporate economist. Speak a lot to the media, do a lot of internal reporting. I speak a lot to service members and members, and yeah, it's been a great gig.
Well, first of all, let me thank you for what you're doing, because I'm sure you're helping a lot of people out and a lot of military people too. But so thank you for what you continue to do. You know, Robert, you know, last week we talked about inflation and the rising process, but in one area we didn't get into was car ownership, which is completely different. You know, the proposition today, you know, today it was, you know, versus 10 years ago, it's a lot different now. So would you talk about that?
Yeah, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, COVID.
That's true.
Car ownership. You know, it used to be you saw a car you liked, maybe you could barely afford it, maybe you were really stretching, but you bought that car. What happened was when the auto industry crashed because they couldn't get enough microchips, new cars weren't made for a long time. And so people spent in a lot on old model, high mileage used cars. And that's coming back to haunt a lot of people now because they're falling apart and they still have 2 or 3 years left on those, you know, loans. But at the same time, maintenance costs have gotten higher and insurance costs have gotten even higher. So buying a car is no longer kind of something we do, you know, just kind of automatically. Buying a car now is a major investment and a major commitment. We have to be very careful about what car we buy.
Yeah, well, I think you brought up a good point right there just a minute ago. You know, the maintenance, the insurance, and I don't think people really factor in those things when, you know, when they're starting to get ready to buy a car. They're not thinking about maintenance. They just want a new vehicle.
Yeah, well, car ownership is 36% higher now than it was in 2019. And again, a lot of that's the price of cars.
Wow.
But a lot of it is insurance and maintenance. You know, there's so many microchips in cars that when you wreck one or get in an accident, it costs a whole lot to repair it. Also, insurance rates are up because climate change, flooding is taking millions of cars out of the pool. So that means that premiums are going to be higher and higher. So what we're doing right now is counseling people that you have to rethink your whole relationship with your car. And look, I'm a car guy. I love cars. And I was a car editor at Kiplinger's magazine for a few years. I got to drive all the best cars and all the worst cars. But I love cars. But I realized that car ownership, especially now, is something you have to really check the car you're buying, check how long your loan is, check what the insurance on that car is going to be, and check what the maintenance costs on that car are going to be. If you do that, you can basically buy the same type of car you wanted to buy, SUV, pickup, sedan, but you'll buy smarter. And so you'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars less over the life of that car.
Yeah, I think the other thing, though, is people are keeping cars longer. You know, I usually about every 3 to 4 or 5 years, I'd buy either my wife a car or I'll get another car. But I think instead of 5 years, they're probably saying 9 or 10 years now, keeping their car a lot longer and keeping the maintenance up on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, cars do last longer. I mean, which is a good thing. I always buy a car and I drive it until it turns into a pile of rust.
I mean, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I squeeze all of it out. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes I don't have a nice car. I have a really nice 2007 Mazda 3 Sport, really great car. I hardly drive it because I'm beating our Hyundais like rented mules right now and just driving them to death while I kind of preserve this nice car I have. But they're all cheap to own.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Which do you think gets more people in trouble when it comes to buying a car? Here's a question for you. Lack of knowledge or emotion?
Oh my gosh. Oh, no. It's emotion. I mean,
that's for sure.
Well, you know, when you get someone who's first, you know, enlisted, they got to get that F-150 or, you know, that's the classic car, right? And actually, it's a pretty good car as far as maintenance and that, but it's expensive. The price is coming down. It's emotions. We're Americans, right? What we drive is a reflection of who we are. I completely get that. But if that car is going to get repossessed, that's a reflection of who you are too. So, you know, you got to make sure you don't fall into that trap.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking about when I was a kid, I could never get a new car, but I wanted to get a nice car and I made sure it looked really good. I'd have a nice car, but didn't have money to put gas in my car. So that always caused me a problem.
My dad, who, by the way, a World War II vet, was a professor, didn't make much money. His first new car, he bought in 1968, a Pontiac Catalina. He was so happy with that car. He used to make my brother and I wax it and wash it constantly. But that was his kind of emotional reflection of who he was. And it really was kind of sporty, had a V8. My dad was a modest guy, but he wanted that first great car. And he could afford it. And then he bought more modest cars after that. But we're Americans. We love our cars. We just have to think about it as more of a long-term business proposition now.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. As I get older, I want comfort in my car.
Yeah, right.
I want a comfortable car, a nice car that drives easy. And you talked about cost of wreck. I got hit the other day. I was pulled on the highway. I hadn't been in the lane there for 10 seconds. A car drove into the side of my car. And I have a nice Mercedes there. It's an older Mercedes, 2017. But I thought, it's a little paint, you know, clean it up a little bit. That cost about $7,000 to fix it.
Oh.
Yeah. But I mean, their insurance paid for it, but it's the cost. And just back to your point about maintenance cost, I had no idea that that'd be, you know, I thought, well, you know, wax on, wax off, I'd be ready to go. But that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from an era where I used to do a lot of maintenance on the car. I had an old Subaru. I replaced the brakes all the time. I replaced the radiator. I replaced a lot of stuff. And when I get in an accident, I just go to the junkyard, buy a fender, bolt it back on, and spray paint it roughly the same color. You know, so I'm very frugal. But you can't do that anymore.
We're gonna get in trouble talking too much, but I knew a guy when I was in Germany that bought an old Mercedes and he did the same thing. He took spray cans and painted it, bought it for $100, and then sold it for $800 different spray cans.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different subject. That's because I'm cheap. That's for doggone sure.
Right.
Hey, Robert, I want to talk about an area that really changed drastically in recent years, home ownership. But first, we need to take a break. So I love talking to you, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. If you enjoy this discussion, and I know that you are, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking about money with Robert Frick from the Navy Federal Credit Union. Before we get back to our discussion, I'd like to take a few seconds to tell you about a new program we're excited about called Your Next Mission VCS, a veterans community support program. We'll provide personalized one-on-one support to address the unique needs within our veteran community, facilitated through our many partnerships with other veteran service organizations. Please check it out at yournextmission.org/VCS and enroll to participate today. Remember, we want to help you with whatever issues you or your family are facing, so reach out to us. Recently, home prices have, just gone through the roof. Can you explain briefly in layman's terms for somebody like me how we've reached this point?
Oh yeah, it's very simple, although most people don't realize it. When the housing market crashed, 2007, 2008, builders went out of business. More than half the builders in the country went out of business, and people didn't have money because their homes, their finances were underwater. So for the entire decade of the 2010s, we built half as many homes as we needed to for the population we had, which was continuing to grow. Then you had all the stuff that happened with COVID, you know, prices up, prices down. And we have about 4 million fewer homes than we need right now in America. There are not enough homes. So even low-cost homes, their price has been bid up. And so now I think the median price of a home is $430,000. What young family can afford that? I mean, none, unless they get, you know, help from mom and dad. So that's why we're in this situation. That's why homes are so expensive and there aren't enough homes to go around.
Yeah. You know, I told you I had a couple granddaughters. My granddaughter's trying to have a children. So my oldest granddaughter has three boys, little boys, and they're just living in a rental property and paying, all rental costs are out of, you know, just too much money. But anyway, I said, hey, let's just see if we can help her find a home. And so we did. We found a nice house, went in, looked at the house. I thought, oh, geez, this should be about $150,000, $160,000. They wanted $320,000 for that home. It was unbelievable. I started looking around and said, there's got to be gold in here or something somewhere, but it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's crazy.
My oldest daughter, who's in her early 40s, she and her husband bought a starter home when there actually were starter homes 15 years ago. It was, I think, $170,000. Mm-hmm. Just a concrete slab, you know, drywall, framing, and vinyl siding. But it was enough. And our granddaughter was born there. Now they have a really nice big house. That same house today cost $350,000. So yeah, Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So there is no stock of starter homes right now, which is a huge problem.
Yeah, the other thing I tell you, and I've talked to my wife about that, she's the only one who really listens to me, and I'm not sure she's listening to me anyway, but I don't think, you know, when you're making so much money, it seems to me the houses probably aren't never gonna go down. I mean, they're at a level that, you know, they'll go down maybe, but not much. You know, just like food prices and gas prices, people talk about coming down. Well, how much is coming, like 10 cents or $5 or $100, right, something like that? So,
well, not to get political, but the Biden-Harris administration have an initiative which could add 2 million starter homes to the stock of homes in the next 5 years. That would be a huge improvement. If it works, if they're elected, a lot of ifs. But if we're truly going to get back to a normal kind of equilibrium, wages will continue going up, the number of homes will increase, and then we'll be able to get young couples on the home equity ladder. And, you know, because we all know that by the time you get to retirement, if you own your own home, your life is much easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, you know, I noticed here lately interest rates are finally starting to fall a little bit, and that really started pumping me up. Should people wait for rates to fall further before considering, a move or buying a home?
The problem is there's so few homes on the market now. I tell people, look, if you can afford a home now, buy it, because you can always refinance later.
Yeah.
The problem right now, the constraint that people have to worry about is there are too few homes. Buy that home. Waiting, by the time you wait and it comes down, it's going to be gone, first of all. And then who knows what the future's going to hold. When mortgage rates come down, the home market's going to get even more competitive. So who knows? I mean, there are so few homes now that you don't have to worry about a housing price crash. So if you get in a home, get in a home.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. You know, one thing that military personnel, especially transition out and retirees are often have in common is deciding where they want to live in the next phase of their lives. From an economic standpoint, what sort of things should they be looking for to make that choice?
When I worked at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, we would do a project every year in which we looked at what are the cheapest places to live, and also, the best places to live from the, amenities, healthcare, very important for retirees. Taxes are incredibly important because, if you're spending $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a year on property, school taxes, whatever, utilities, as opposed to $3,000 or $4,000 a year, that's the difference between, one or two really nice vacations or just being able to live in comfort. So picking where you're going to live is important. But of course, you always want to be close to relatives. And I understand that because, the joy when you get to be our age, right, is you want to be close to your kids and your grandkids and maybe even your great-grandkids. And so there are a lot of factors involved, but it's cost of living and taxes, which, if you're just looking at it from a financial point of view, it's got to be your number one priority.
Yeah, when you say close to your grandkids, I was sitting there thinking, as they get a little bit older, I could teach them how to cut grass, right? So I can save money.
Yeah.
A financial planner may help some of us with these decisions. And I'd love to talk about that a little bit more with you. But first, like always, we got to take another business break here. We'll be right back. So don't go anywhere. This is a great discussion. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken, whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Robert Frick, corporate economist with the Navy Federal Credit Union. Remember, this is your show. We know there are so many issues that directly affect all of you. We want to address them, each and every one of them. So please, as I said before, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sir, what's your take on financial planners? Should everybody have one?
I think everyone should have one, but there are a lot of bad planners out there. So you have to be very careful about who you pick. I was in the personal finance business for a number of years. I gave a lot of advice. I have a planner because I'm not so arrogant to believe that I know everything that's going on, you know, in financial products right now. Though at one point I was an expert, I'm no longer am. The problem is when you get in with a planner who rips you off, they basically push you in high cost investments. I can't tell you the number of people. I can tell you it's six. I got six friends and colleagues out of bad financial planning arrangements and got them with a planner which will basically just pay for the plan. Or in some cases, you don't have to pay anything, because in my case, I have my money with one of the big mutual fund companies, and they'll give me a financial plan for free and let me talk to a planner for free, which in my case is really all I need. But how can you beat free, and how can you beat someone who is not paid to get you into a bunch of investments in which they benefit and not you?
Yeah. First of all, you got to find somebody you trust. And how do you find a financial planner, you know, that you do trust? I mean, it's difficult. That I got to tell you what I did. I had a financial planner. He was a retired colonel. I contacted him. I felt comfortable because he was retired from the Army. I'm retired from the Army. So I felt comfortable with that financial planner. But you would think that it's hard to find somebody that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, it is hard. One of the big mistakes that people make is they ask a friend of theirs, hey, who's your financial planner?
Yeah.
This is someone who knows nothing about financial planning to begin with. So you go to a friend, you go to your brother-in-law. Who do you use? Oh, I use Joe. He's terrific. Well, your brother-in-law doesn't know anything about finances either. And maybe Joe's ripping him off. So now Joe has another, you know, pigeon to fleece when you become his client. So asking friends for referrals is a bad idea. This is something that's part of behavior. You know, a colonel, that's beyond reproach. I get that. What I recommend is people start looking for financial planners who only charge for the plan. There are groups out there of financial planners, fee-only financial planners, who are truly fee-only. That's the place to start. When someone starts saying, oh, yeah, I don't charge you anything, but I get money from the investments I put you in, that's a huge red flag. That means you're going to get ripped off. So I have very strong feelings about this. But again, I was in the financial planning journalism business for many years, and we saw so many cases of people getting ripped off. It's hard to do, but you have to start by finding a planner who's not going to charge you by the investments they put you in. And from that point, you should talk to people who may have been clients for a long time. But for goodness sakes, don't trust people who you know and trust in some other area to give you a financial planner. It's called the halo effect in behavior. So I have a brother, and I go to my brother and I say, hey, I know you're a plumber and you're a great plumber and you've helped me with my house. Who do you suggest I hire to work on my car? Well, my brother, the plumber, knows nothing about cars. He knows nothing about financial planning. But because I trust him, because he's good at this one thing, I tend to trust, this is just general human behavior, that person you trust, you tend to trust them in areas in which they are not expert. So the halo effect is something you have to look out for.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. I'm listening to you talk about this. You know, I've lived my life this way. I have three pots of money. Savings, what I have to live on, and investments, right? And that's what I live for, you know, for 40 years. That's exactly what I did. And again, it goes back to not living above my means. I mean, I had this pot of money that I'd sure my wife took care of that part of money. We took care of the family. And then I had savings. I wanted to put a little bit in savings. And then I'd take a little bit of money and I'd invest it and see how that would work. And it sort of worked pretty good for me. And then, of course, you reach a point where you stop investing and sort of put it all in savings or something. But I think people just, again, going back to thinking about what they're doing and paying those, as we talked about before, paying those credit cards off and not living above their means. And I think that's a problem. People want to make money quick and they're just not going to make it quick. It's a long-term investment when you talk about financial planning and financial investment and stuff. So it's something people need to think about. But again, I go back to the one thing is most military people are going to look for somebody that has some kind of military service that they really do trust. And you know, maybe you're going to find, hopefully, I'd love to say they're all good, but I'm sure there's bad ones out there too. But that's what I always look for in everything that really, quite frankly, I do.
Well, there have been cases of groups that have associated themselves with the military and have ripped off military people with their finances.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, and we know about them. So military people have to be very careful that you know, great bond that you have with other people in the service, in the armed services, you don't give too much credence for that when it comes to your finances or really anything else. Everybody has to be evaluated independently.
Yeah, well, and I'm gonna go back and give you a compliment here. That's why the Navy Federal Credit Union is a good place to start. I trust them. And if I want to get a financial plan, I'm sure that you guys will put me in the right direction to assist me in any way. So any veterans or any service member that are listening to the show today, if you're feeling comfortable about it, you can't find a financial planner, real easy, go to Navy Federal Credit Union and they'll point you in the right direction to assist you in any way that you can.
Yeah, I have to say, I've always only worked for companies that are squeaky clean, and that's kind of my first criteria, and Navy Federal is that.
They certainly, I mean, we've been associated with them, and not because they're a sponsor, because of course that helps, of course. But the fact is that a lot of people talk about taking care of veterans, but I gotta be honest with you, Navy Federal Credit Union just doesn't talk about it, they do it. And you see that every day, no matter what it is, whether or not it's marketing, whether or not it's financial planners, whether or not it's in, you know, whatever. They're out there walking the walk and talking the talk and doing the right things for our veteran community and their families.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the meetings, and you know, ethics and serving our members is paramount in everything we do. And I've worked for other institutions which are highly ethical, but I would rank Navy Federal with all of them.
You got me, and I'm 100% behind you. We're coming to the end of our second straight show with you, and we've talked about, you know, the economy, inflation, personal finances, car, home, home buying, retirement planning, and you know, I can't remember all the things, but a lot more here. But any final thoughts, anything that maybe you want to go back and reemphasize, not just from this show or the other show, and sort of leave our audience with?
Well, you'd mentioned it just a few minutes ago, and you said people have to start saving early. People have a hard time envisioning how compound interest works. They have a hard time envisioning how much interest on a loan can be corrosive. They have a hard time understanding the time value of money. So to make these decisions later in life is to miss the biggest opportunities you have. I always preach to my kids, and so far they listen to me, you know, knock wood, put your money in your 401k plan and start a separate plan for your next car. My two younger kids don't own homes yet. They will eventually, I'm sure. And they're daunted by the fact that homes are so expensive now. And I said, that's no reason not to start a fund to save for that down payment. Luckily, one of my daughters is married to an Army veteran, and he'll be able to get a VA loan, which is fantastic. But don't wait to save. Waiting to save is the worst thing you can do. Let time work in your favor.
Robert, wait a minute. Did you say that one of your daughters is married to an Army soldier or service member? Veteran?
Yeah. Served in Afghanistan in combat.
And, well, you did well. I mean, at least you're selecting the right service. There you go. No.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's used his GI Bill to further his education and is going for a PhD right now.
Oh my goodness.
The first PhD in my family, I mean, since my dad, but very impressive guy. And if you make your military service work for you, it's a benefit that is unmatched.
Oh, no question about that. Well, first of all, Robert, let me say again, thank you for what you're doing. And And thanks to the Navy Federal Credit. And thanks again for, you know, being with us today. And thanks to the Navy Federal Credit, you know, for being one of our presenting sponsors. I mean, you know, I've said it already. We couldn't get this show done without your sponsorship and your support. So we want to say thank you so much. And hang in there, because we're going to hang in there with you, because we, all of us, believe in the Navy Federal Credit and what you're doing and what you continue to do.
That's our measure very much.
All right. God bless you. Have a great day. Hooah! Thanks again to Robert Frick from the Navy Federal Credit Union for being with us. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good one. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's just right for you. Please go to the website to watch a short video that will help fine-tune your search, where you can create your own personal profile. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134, or send me an email at smedtilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Robert Frick for being on the show with us today. And you know, the final thoughts here today, look, we've talked about financial education, financial planners, home buying, buying a car. And the bottom line is, you have to live within your means. Man, a minute ago I talked about, for me now, I don't know if right for you, I talked about the three pots, you know, savings, how much it costs to run my household, and investments. I also talked about trust, believing in the person that's going to be your financial planner. Who's that going to be? Is it going to be Navy Federal Credit Union? Probably, because they understand exactly what your needs are. So don't do it alone. And I think the analogy from Robert about when I go to a plumber to fix my car is pretty good advice. If you want to go to somebody that cares, go to the Navy Federal Credit Union, because I'll tell you right now, they do care. And they care about you, and they care about me. Never think you're alone. We're all in this together. Thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.